little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
The interesting thing is what we call this task. Now, in the Calgary-Cambridge model, and indeed in all British consulting models of the consultation, this task is known as explanation. That's the term Keith just used, probably the term I've just used. You'll infer from my language so far that this is not universally the case, well, not globally the case. Mm-hmm. The problem that there may be with the word explanation is as follows. I don't know about the rest of you here, but I'm in possession of an explaining finger. Here it is. And what happens when I deploy this is a little lecture tends to follow. Let me explain. Yeah? And the problem that may come from our little lectures, and we've all got these, well, you're going to go and polish these lectures. And to some extent, the CSA drives this behaviour. And it's not necessarily, and especially in the context of the CSA, it's not necessarily a disaster. But I guess the point is that in the real world, our standard spiels regularly achieve two things. Regularly, we tell patients things that they're not interested in as part of our spiel. You've done this, haven't you? You must have done it. You did. Once you've done three or four consultations, you'll have done this. And at the same time, or in other consultations, we fail to discover and address some question or area that actually would be of particular interest to the patient. So, in other words, our standard lectures don't cover everything that all patients want. In North America, if this session was in Canada or the States, we would be calling this task patient education. And I think it's a better term because it hints at a wider range of teaching and educational strategies on the part of us as doctors. So I think on this particular respect, the Calgary-Cambridge authors made a mistake in not using the North American terminology, because they could have then led a change in that being the case in the UK. Do you see what I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And actually, it's interesting because implicit, we're not going to do this yet, because I'm definitely going to recommend you don't open your books at the moment, and we'll refer to them in a minute. Implicit in the Calgary-Cambridge structure is a more, if you like, something a bit more like a tutorial. And in a tutorial, if you were a teacher running a tutorial, you would try and have some sense, well, exactly what Keith did. You know, you would know where the learners start, you would know what they're trying to achieve, you would have some specific questions from the learner, and you would design the education to address those. And then at the end, there would be a test, the CSA in your case, yeah? And so those principles achieve a more learner-centered outcome. And within some of the educational delivery, you might use parcels of your standard mini lectures. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't develop some efficient information giving. So if we're going to do an exercise, well, we are going to do an exercise then, that's the plan. What I'm going to try and do is here in this room, not worry too much about the middle bit of the sandwich, because you're going to go away and practice it, and the experienced doctors will already be everybody in the room, we're already doing a lot of it, and the post-CSA doctors have done shed loads. So I'm sure that your delivery is quite good, and you can polish that in other settings. Now, what I can do is, I can show you a very concise framework for this, is a model called elicit, provide, and elicit. Is that something, it's new to you, yeah? Yeah, it's
chunk and check.
Well, chunking and checking is how you deliver the information in the middle. Yeah, I suppose in a way it's a sort of chunk and check with the whole thing. But I shied away from this at first because of the language. But anyway, the point is, actually, I've come back to it because I think, it does express exactly what you're trying to achieve. So the provide, you provide in bites and checking, and that's certainly the right strategy. And I mean, in a way that there's a degree of elicit, you're going around little mini cycles of the whole thing. But the big picture thing is this. Before you start in the tutorial, you would find out where are the learners at, what do they want to achieve, have they got any specific questions? Those three things, I think. And so that is what you do with patients. What is the starting point? Elicit the starting point. Elicit the, where should we focus? Imagine, in particular broad area, imagine you've told somebody, as we suspected, it is asthma, all right? I could deliver a standard mini lecture on asthma, but, we could get a textbook this thick written about asthma, couldn't we? And I've got 3.5-4 minutes with this patient. So asking them where they think I should start could be quite a good place to go, yeah? And so, this is a gross generalisation, but in general, patients are less interested in pathophysiology than we are, and more interested in what does it mean for me in practice type questions. And so sometimes our explanations are more technical than a patient really wants and don't contain enough of, you know, what are the implications here. That is a generalisation, and individual patients will vary. And the final thing is, it may be that the patient actually has a specific question, which isn't quite the same thing. I read about this drug on the internet. Does that suit me? Yeah? What, you know, what do I need to do about work? So, and it's likely to be in some way linked to a focus point, but it might not. So a lot of patients might say, you know, can I focus on the treatment, or is there anything I can do to prevent attacks? And it's one of the key things is that until patients feel that you've either answered or definitely will answer their specific questions, they don't concentrate properly on the other stuff you're trying to educate them about. Yeah, it's a bit like, I mean, in a way, this is a bit like agenda setting for the explanation, if you like. So then you provide, and especially the chunks and checks, that's the key there. So you know that you don't give too much at once, you check how it's going, and periodic, you might want to check back that it's addressing the questions that you've agreed. And then the final illicit is really important too. So we're all, I'm sure, in the habit of eliciting, we ask, how did I do, Mrs. Smith? Oh, great, Doc. Yeah? Have you ever had the experience, as I have, of explaining something to a patient who looked like that, really concentrated, looking happy, you know, every second, great chunks and checks, looking happy, and thinking to yourself, you know, in several years of practice, I'm not sure I've ever done this quite so well, and the patient looked great. And he said, how did I? Oh, brilliant, Doc, yeah. And then the next time you see them, it's apparent that not a word actually sounded here. Yeah? So the problem with this, how did I do? It's a screening question. If the patient said, I don't know, you lost me a bit there, well, you can believe them, mm-hmm. right? If they say, great, you can't believe them. You have to test them. All right, prove it. Tell me what you've learned, essentially, yeah? So there are two illicits. It is definitely worth eliciting a reaction, but your job as a teacher is only complete with a test. And the technical jargon, asking people to feed back to you what they've learned is known as teach back. That behaviour is known as teach back. And until you've elicited, you know this because the CSA does recommend this. The problem is, unfortunately, most experienced practitioners don't do it. And it's in the CSA for a reason, because it enhances effectiveness. You have to elicit teach back as well as a reaction. In fact, you know, you could miss out the reaction, but you shouldn't miss out the teach back. And if you find you don't have enough time to do teach back, then do less and use the time now saved to do the teach back. Because you can then decide, if I can only teach two things and not three, let's make sure they're the two most important things for this patient right now, and then let's actually check that the patient's learned something. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions if you do three but have no idea how effective they are. Because if you decide to be realistic, you can then make effective judgments about the prioritisation of what needs to be learned today.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.